Angie's List is now Angie, and we've heard a lot of theories about why.
I thought it was an eco move. Fewer words, less paper.
No, it was so you could say it faster.
No, it's to be more iconic.
Must be a tech thing.
But those aren't quite right. It's because now you can compare upfront prices, book a service instantly, and even get your project handled from start to finish.
Sounds easy.
It is, and it makes us so much more than just a list. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I. Or download the app today.
Welcome to the Blackhawks Talk Podcast. I am Pat Boyle, joined this week with Charlie Romeliotis and Slavko Bekovic. It is all about the shootout. Robin Leonard sort of opened the door the other day about his struggles between the pipes when it comes to the shootout. Should the Blackhawks consider going to the bullpen and bringing in a Corey Crawford? Should the NHL tweak overtime? We go into that and a whole lot more on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk Podcast.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
All right, Slavko and Charlie, let's get into the Robin Leonard shootout situation. First off, you know, this really came to the forefront after the Hawks lost via the shootout in Dallas on Saturday night. They get the point. Leonard was awesome, stopping 40 of 41 throughout regulation and the overtime period. And Pavelski and Sagan score on the first two shots, and that was it. So, you know, Leonard openly discussed after that game his struggles in the shootout, how it just does not play to his strengths and how it almost enhances his weaknesses in net, or what he perceives as his weaknesses. He's now 8-22 all-time in shootouts, a .521 save percentage. So he spoke about it at length on Monday, Charlie. What was your biggest takeaway from what Leonard had to say on Monday, a day after he took it to social media to kind of talk about it, vent, and also tongue-in-cheek deal with it?
Yeah, there was a lot to unpack there. It was a 10-minute interview, and it was all of it was very passionate. You could see it in his face and the tone of his voice. While, you know, he was very like, man, like I can't pinpoint why I'm not very good. But also it was a joking manner too, like, you know, it's just, I feel like I'm a top 10 goalie in a save percentage and everywhere else, except I can't figure out the shootouts. And like you said, he took to Twitter to kind of get some advice from fans, and even said that somebody sent him a Harvard study on shootouts that he thought was pretty funny. But I don't know. Like, I don't think it's a mental thing. Like, I don't think he's like, oh man, here come the shootouts. I do think it's just the speed of the game. And because you go back, he stopped a breakaway against Dallas, and he is really good when it comes to breakaways. How many opportunities this year has Leonard bailed out the Blackhawks in odd man rushes or in breakaways? And then it comes to the shootout, and he said he can't get the speed right because it feels like the shooter does have an advantage there where they can go at any, they could slow it down. They can, and Robin Leonard's a big goalie too. So a lot, both of the goals that were scored against him against Dallas in the shootout went five holes. So I don't know. I don't know if it's, I think personally it's just the speed of the game because he feels like he's so good at reading situations. And earlier in the year, he said he plays the penalty kill differently than other goalies. So he's very methodical when it comes to positioning. And shootouts are just something he can't figure out in his career.
It seems like it's just the way he reads the game. He even mentioned on breakaways, I know when guys get to the hash, I already know what they're going to do. He's like, the way that their stick is, the way that they're looking, the speed that they come in, the guys that are back checking. So it's a totally different situation on the breakaway. But in shootouts, he specifically said they can slow down. They can come in from these crazy angles. There's no urgency. There's no back pressure from a defenseman or a forward. His mind works in a different way, I think, than a lot of goalies do. But that's also what makes him so good. And he was absolutely right. He said it himself. He's like, look, as far as recorded NHL history, he is top 10 in save percentage. In the last few years, he has been one of the best goalies in the NHL. It's it's not a mental block. He said it's not that he's nervous. It's not that he is, looking at it any differently. I do think, though, it is a mental block. I think it's more so subconscious that he now realizes, oh, shoot, here we go again. And it's just building in his head. Whether he's able to ever kind of figure it out, I don't know. And we've seen in practice when they do the shootout drills that normally, and Charlie, you're there every time, Crawford and Leonard are pretty darn good.
Yeah, I mean, during practice today, they did shootout drills, and he stopped the first six shots he faced. And it was because the game that they played today in practice, it was first team to score all five of their pucks wins. So it has more of a feel of a breakaway, whereas, Patrick Kane's not coming in slow and he's trying to find an open. It's like first team to five wins. And you could see Leonard was perfect this first six shots. Now, the opposite team ended up winning anyways, but it just has a different feel than a shootout. And I think that's what Leonard is struggling with.
And so, first of all, let's just say one thing here. When we say it's a mental issue, we mean it's something. It's not a physical situation about how he moves, whatever. We talk about this with athletes all the time. Because of what Robin has openly dealt with mental health, we're not comparing
right,
the two.
Totally different mental issue.
Yeah. When we bring that up, we're going just the strictly, is it, like the yips in putting or
right, yeah.
Knobloch not being able to throw to first base John Lester not being able to throw to first. You get the idea.
Robin Leonard is one of the mentally toughest NHL goaltenders.
Oh, no question.
No question. So that absolutely is not.
But he has opened Pandora's box here, so to speak. He is almost taking the shooter behind the curtain, just like he's taking the Blackhawk fan and the reporter. He's letting you know that he doesn't deal great with the crazy angles and the not knowing the speed. Like what they replicated in Monday's practice, like you said, was more like a breakaway. He's not having issues with that.
Right.
Just note to Jeremy Colleton, not that you're ever listening to this, but I would have Patrick and others work more on the the off-speed approach to the shootout, but he has also now kind of made it public. Like this is something I dealt with in Buffalo, and the average save percentage for NHL goalies on shootouts is between 700 and 800. Like Crow's 713.
It's really good.
So he's at 521. That's a pretty sizable gap. So he's kind of put it out there, and I kind of jokingly said to you when we were getting ready to hear Colleton speak today, is he almost too transparent? Could this come back to bite him? He's kind of retweeting guys' stories and, taking tongue-in-cheek advice from fans. Maybe that's just the way he far be it from us to tell him how to deal with his stuff.
Yeah.
But it just seems like we are kind of approaching a spot now where it's become so open and so public that it may become a bigger issue than it already is.
Yeah, well, fortunately for the Blackhawks and Robin Leonard, when 3-on-3 overtime was instituted, there are far fewer shootouts. So, a lot of games usually end in a 3-on-3. So we're not going to see a lot of cases like we've seen, I think Robin Leonard's 0-2 now in shootouts this season. But it is interesting because, and Robin Leonard has a point too, where he was criticizing the media's perception or the negativity, how we're making this a big deal because they ended up losing against Dallas. But it's a big deal not because of the game, but when you add it all up at the end, if you look at the shootout record at the end of the year and the Hawks are 1-7 or 1-8. I remember the Blackhawks and the Predators when they faced each other a couple years ago and the Hawks got swept. Nashville had a terrible overtime shootout record. And so they weren't necessarily an 8 seed, but they left so many points on the table that they just kept slipping in the standings, and they weren't necessarily an 8 seed. They were much better than an 8 seed, but they couldn't figure out overtimes and shootouts. So when you look at the end of the year, if the Hawks miss the playoffs or they miss a seeding by a couple points, you're just naturally going to go back to those games. So no one is questioning that Robin Leonard, he's probably a Vezina Trophy frontrunner, the MVP of the team this year. It's honestly, I guess we're just magnifying it because those points are so crucial in the standings.
And Mike Kelly came out today and basically said the same thing. He should be the frontrunner right now. His Save percentage is number one amongst qualified goaltenders. His goal saved above average is number one amongst qualified goaltenders. He has been nothing short of incredible since signing on with the Blackhawks. He's one of the best soundbites in Chicago sports. He's one of the best soundbites in all of sports right now. There is literally no drawback to anything that he has done in his career with the Blackhawks until the shootout in Dallas the other night. I agree with you. If for some reason this becomes an issue and they go through seven or eight shootouts and they drop points, and maybe that's what the difference is between a playoff spot or not. The good news is, and he said that himself, he came here because he wants to win. He came here because he wants to make the playoffs. And if you do make the playoffs, there's no shootout. So he has nothing to worry about when it comes to that.
So let's get into the topic that, you know, we talked about on the post-game show, and I said it was my meatball comment of the night. But as we begin to look more and more into it, it could become reality if this is his Achilles heel, sports-wise. If it's his mental roadblock that he's having a tough time getting over. He said he's open to whatever because, like you said, Slavko, he wants to win. It's right. All about winning. When Jeremy Colleton was asked about it, he said, "We haven't discussed it," which also doesn't mean you're out of your mind, crazy. We wouldn't contemplate this thing. So, you know, I've heard some people weigh in. To me, this really comes down to Corey Crawford and how acceptive he would be to something like this. Because to me, he's the one that has the most to lose. And let's just look at how this would transpire. Game goes to overtime. Leonard's been in net. Corey's been either on the bench. A lot of times Corey will, depending on the situation, he'll watch from the locker room with gear on. So heading to an overtime, you would probably tell him, if this had been discussed, hey, do your stretching, go through some routines here in the hallway, whatever. Maybe you can have the equipment guys shoot some pucks on you, you know, in the locker room. Get ready. If this thing goes to a shootout, we're bringing you in so that he's not completely cold. But think about it from his standpoint. He's not going to get a win or loss. All he has to do is, you know, he comes in, he makes the saves, they win the shootout. The win goes towards Robin, and Robin's Achilles heel is not exposed. The team benefits. You know, at the end of the day, this is a business too, and both are in the final year of their contract. So, you know, how does Corey coming in, swooping in to save the day, how does that affect the team's view of what Robin brings to the team, what he doesn't bring, what Corey can do and Robin can't? If Corey comes in and they don't win the shootout, how does that reflect on him? So, you know, there's a lot of things going on here. Now, if you're just strictly looking at this for the good of the team, that's a, you know, we can weigh those options and it's a little more black and white. There's a lot of gray to this story when you begin to look at it big picture.
Yeah, it's a really good point from the Corey Crawford aspect, because I'm not surprised that Leonard said, I'll do anything to let, you know, to improve our chances of winning. If the coaches feel like they, like Corey Crawford, are making that switch when Corey has been on the bench for 2.5 hours and you know, starts stretching in overtime and then goes into a shootout, gives them a better chance of winning than Leonard, who was, and by the way, Leonard had an unbelievable game against Dallas.
Fantastic.
Too. I mean, the only goal he let up, it went off someone's shin pad from the
right
point. Like, you know, so it's not like Leonard was struggling all night and they're like, maybe we, you know, maybe his confidence isn't there tonight, we should swap him. It's like Leonard was on all night. So it's a good point from the Corey Crawford aspect, because it's easy for Leonard to say, I'll do anything for the team, but it is putting Corey Crawford in a very tough spot where, you know, I didn't really think of the big term ramifications of it, if win or loss, I guess. So it's an interesting point. I would have loved to hear Corey's perspective on it. But
he'll get asked at some point.
Yeah, we'll see. Not necessarily, just in general, how does goalies in general, because Corey's a guy that he's made it known. He wants the net, he wants more starts, and he's also voiced his opinion. I'm sure Robin does as well. But Corey, when he has the net, he wants to keep the net. So I'm sure if he was on the other end, he'd be like, no, I want to work through this and figure it out. But, you know, Corey Crawford is also a very I think Corey Crawford, on the other hand, if he was coming in, he would be open to it also, because he's a guy that would want to do what's best for the team if approached.
I do agree with you there. I guess my biggest question is, does a cold goalie actually give you a better chance than Leonard, who's been locked in for 65-plus minutes? You know what I mean? And you're getting only an opportunity to stretch in the locker room, and whatever time you have between the end of overtime on the ice to get out there as quickly as possible in the net and try to get your feet under you on the ice. Does that really give you a better chance than Leonard, regardless of what he thinks or his mental block?
It's almost
or
like a pinch hitter.
Exactly, yeah, but the pinch hitter with the game on the line every
single
time, right?
Well, hey, you know,
it's a tough situation. I just don't know if it – like, when would you ultimately make that decision if you're Jeremy Colleton? Leonard's fine with it. Crawford's fine with it. The next shootout, Leonard starts, has a great game, whatever. Do you immediately go with Crow?
I would almost try it out in practice with the cold, hot, cold situation going. Okay. I would start a practice with the shootout to see how Corey responded with warm-up, you know, in other words, stretching, whatever his normal routine is,
yeah,
but relatively early, just to see where he stands on that front. I would do it probably on an optional skate. I would do it when Charlie and everybody that's normally there is not normally there. You know what I mean? Like, I would kind of...
I don't usually take the optionals, Pat.
So
I do think about this, though. In 2010, when the Blackhawks made it to the Stanley Cup Final, the Philadelphia Flyers got in as the 8 seed. Mm-hmm. And the very last game of the regular season, they got in on a shootout victory.
Yes, they did.
So what would you do in that situation where it's game 82, yeah, and your season comes down? Like, that's something I guess you would have to experiment before you actually did.
Here's the thing. If my goalie wasn't talking the way Robin Leonard is talking, being so open about it being kind of like, again, his Achilles heel, however you want to phrase his you know, his hockey weakness or whatever you want to call it, it just isn't his thing. Like he said, it accentuates the areas of his game that aren't the strongest, and it doesn't amplify the areas where he is strongest. So if my goalie is saying that and kind of skating out there knowing, like, this is not my jam, I would be more open to it. If he was handling this in a different way where it's like, yeah, you know what, I got a little bit of a dry spell, a lot of this was in Buffalo, blah, blah, blah. I'm a changed goalie since then. I've learned a lot over the last few years, whatever it is. But now that I hear it being kind of presented this way, I'm more apt to considering it because it seems like he's opened the door to it. You
right.
know what I mean?
Yeah, like he's acknowledging that it's an issue, and he's also doing it in like a half joking manner too. He's like, anyone got advice?
He almost sounds like defeated, right? Like, I don't know, I can't figure it out.
He's like, I've talked to goalie coaches, I've talked to anyone possible.
It's not hockey, he says, right?
Right. Exactly.
He kind of says it. So that also brings up the tweaking of the overtime situation. Now, again, a lot of this is for quote unquote television and you know, to present the product in a timely fashion. Everyone's like, just add 5 minutes to the overtime. Well, you know, that's easier said than done until somebody toe picks or somebody pulls a groin or tweaks an AC or something happens. You know, you are exposing players to a little more risk playing more time. I mean, it's simply, you know, whether that, you know, proves to be the case remains to be seen. Do you start with an 8 minute 3-on-3 or a 7, or do you go right to 10? You know, they're not going to tweak something just to make it suit Robin Leonard's preference either. You know, I mean, if they're getting resistance from only one or two or three or five goalies out of, you know, the 62 that are on the 31 teams, then, you know, maybe they're like, why are we going to, it's not broken, let's not fix it.
Yeah, so the first thing I would do in making a change like that is I would actually go to regulation. So right now the tiebreaker for playoffs is regulation plus overtime victories, and they've eliminated the shootout portion.
Right.
So you have to get it done during hockey play. I would make the tiebreaker just regulation wins and eliminate maybe, you know, the last minute and a half, it's a tie game. You got the Hawks facing an Eastern Conference team, and both teams are maybe satisfied with picking up a point. Like, make the onus more on the importance of a regulation win. So maybe not as many games get to
sure.
an overtime or a shootout.
Teams don't that's just team, lock it in
yes.
with a couple
So that's
minutes,
area so. Number one I would fix. But also, yeah, like, I don't know. I guess the issue with me extending 3-on-3 overtime is to 10 minutes is that I don't think 3-on-3 overtime is necessarily hockey either. Like, that's just a pickup. Yeah. It's like in your backyard. So I don't want to be like, oh, this is the solution. You know, let's because 3-on-3 hockey got a lot of pushback. Nobody denies it was going to be entertaining hockey because sure. it's just end-to-end action. But it's also like, all right, I'm not sure how much, you know, Kane and Taze, and you're only sending out 8 guys for 3-on-3 overtime. So it's just – so it's kind of a crapshoot. So I don't know. I don't really know the solution to it. I mean, maybe you just go back to ties. And like, but, like, I don't know who would want that.
I've personally always been in favor of a longer overtime and or just getting rid of the shootout in general. You know, I think when the first 3-on-3 came to be, again, it, like you said, Pat, it's for TV. It's more entertainment. There's wide open ice. There's more breakaways. It's back and forth. You get sometimes a 5-minute overtime without a whistle. It's incredible. And Leonard said the same thing, though. The fans would and should enjoy that much more than the slower pace of a shootout, and it's just 50-50, one-on-one goalie versus shooter. I if you polled an audience of hockey fans, I would bet you more people would be in favor of a longer overtime than and getting rid of a shootout. Or if on the opposite side of it, if you polled players, I'd be willing to say that they'd rather have the shootout and keep the OT 5 minutes.
Yeah, if you do 10-minute overtime, would you eliminate the shootout and just be like, hey, at the end of 10 minutes, this is it? Like that.
Then you have to bring back ties.
Well, because you can't go like 10 minutes and, right. and then we'll go to a shootout.
Yeah, I think. Like, well, if you eliminate the shootout entirely, then there has to be some sort of you play until someone wins. I don't think they would ever go back to, again, having ties. If you extend it to 10 minutes, you still have the potential of a game-ending draw after 10 minutes. Then you would go to the shootout in that case. I think the number of games that would get to a shootout would absolutely plummet because, I mean, you see the third, fourth minute of overtime, guys are already gassed. If you get to the eighth minute, I mean, you're going to have breakaway after breakaway.
All right, let's put everybody on the spot. We haven't heard from Corey Crawford on the subject as of yet, but we've heard from Robin. We've heard from Colleton. Do you think in the foreseeable future we will see the Blackhawks where there's a scenario that Leonard goes for 65 minutes and there's a change for the shootout? I will start. I think we will.
Ooh.
I think if Corey Crawford signs off on it, I think we would be at that stage just by reading everything that Robin has said and the fact that Colleton did not shoot it down, the fact that he just said, we haven't discussed it, to me says they're somewhat open to the idea. And let's be honest, every point is critical for this team. And if it comes down to 2 or 3 points and you could have had that opportunity, I think they're going to give it a shot.
So I think we're all in agreement that you only do this if you give both goalies, if both goalies are on board with it.
Right.
Like Saturday was not an instance where you do it because you don't surprise both goalies by
hey, Crow, guess what, Corey?
But I do have my doubts that we'll see it just because if it doesn't work, like, they have opened up a big can of worms as, you know, because we have made this a big deal now. And if it doesn't work, they put Corey Crawford in and it results in a loss. Like, we're going to be talking about it on the next Blackhawks Talk podcast, and then we're going to be talking about it for the next, until the next shootout happens.
And pretty much every other NHL podcast will be talking about it too.
Yeah, but all that being said, I would try it. If I were,
though, the question was, would you try it? The question was, will it happen?
Well,
with the Blackhawks?
I don't think it will happen, but I would try it if I was in that situation.
I think I agree with you. I personally don't think it will happen with the Blackhawks. I think Jeremy Colleton looks at the situation, and regardless of what Leonard and Crawford think, even if they were both on board, I just don't know that a cold goalie gives you a better chance in a shootout than Leonard, despite Leonard's obviously open commentary on the fact that he just stinks at it, self-admittedly. Now, if it was me and if I was an NHL head coach and I was going to try it, I would want to try it as early in the season as possible. at this point, and if I'm not mistaken, the Hawks are already one of the lower teams as far as getting two shootouts. Usually when they go to OT, it ends in OT one way or the other. So I guess it's kind of a nice problem that you don't always go to a shootout compared to some other teams. It's just, I mean, that's why I asked earlier, when do you pull the trigger? When do you go, all right, this is the night we're going to give it a shot? Because like you said, Charlie, if it backfires, now you made Robin look bad, you made Crow look bad, you made yourself look bad as a head coach, and you lose out on a point. That's
I think you do
tough.
It against like an Eastern Conference opponent, not something where it's like, wow, we're fighting for a divisional here, and you know, like,
yeah,
because then you got to play it safe and do the right thing. But
and if it backfires, you're not coughing up a point to another Western Conference team in a playoff race.
All right, so let's wrap up this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast with one more topic, and just kind of where they sit right now. They are right on the precipice of being in the wild card discussion and also being in the basement of the West. They are, you know, as we record, 3 points out of the eighth seed with a couple games in hand. And they're 4 points from the last place team in the West, the LA Kings. So, you know, I feel like, you know, just our discussion about the shootout, because of where they sit, you know how we talk about the Bears overreaction Monday? I feel like every day after a Hawk game or every night on the post-game show is overreact Blackhawk night, because they're in this precarious spot where, you know, every little slip-up can cost you. Every little run gets you back in the conversation.
Doesn't this sound exactly like last season, though?
I was just going to say, this really does have a feel like last season, because the bar from the eighth seed in the Western Conference to the last place seed, like the Hawks are sitting right in the middle. And we saw where they won four in a row and, you know, went 6-1-2 over their last nine. And then we saw them knocking on the door of a playoff spot. And then they lose three in a row. And it's like, oh, okay, now they're a couple games out again. So, I mean, this is, I don't want to, I think it's false parity, though. Like, I don't think like the Hawks are 4 points better than the LA Kings or the Minnesota Wild.
Yeah.
Like, to me, the Hawks are a better team. It's just, I think we're seeing a lot of three-point games in hockey now, and a lot of it is going to overtime and a shootout. So it's fun for us because we can have this debate all season long where, you know, are these next three, four games against Central Division opponents, is this the most important stretch of the year and whatnot? So, like, even the other night, that when the Hawks lost, like, every Central Division team won. So it's like, that's why it's magnified, is because you lose one night and the rest of your – everyone else moves up in the standings. So it's a fun overreaction, though. It's not like, oh man, the Hawks are toast. It's like, well, hey, look, they just slipped in the standings, or hey, they rose quickly here. So it'll be fun to watch the rest of the year.
I guess when I look at this big picture, you've got two tremendous goaltenders. You've got some really top heavy scoring that's finally starting to, you know, find their game a little bit. You know, DeBrincat, despite the fact that he hasn't scored, he's still over a point per game over this goalless streak. Strome is really good since they kind of united that line. I look at it and I still think you're one or two kind of really good pieces away from being a legitimate contender. And I think that's kind of what we all thought and expected entering this year. Try to get back in the playoffs. This is kind of your movement back, the upswing season. And then next year you really go for it. You get Doc, you get Boqvist with some experience and maybe add another player or two. But I think this is what we're going to see all season long. Every, you know, if they go on a two or three game losing streak, they're going to end up 4, 5, 6, 7 points out. If they win 2, 3 in a row, they're going to be right on the cusp. So I think this is where we're going to see them all season, unless they really go on a good long run as a team.
That's a wrap on this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. For Slavko and Charlie, I'm Pat. Thank you for listening, as always. Also invite you to rate us. We really appreciate that. Be honest. Let us know what we can work on, and we will try to get it done for you. Really appreciate your loyalty over the past couple of years. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Blackhawks Talk podcast. We'll catch you next time.